spreadsheets, clunky software, 100 different logins just to run your business? Ah.
There's a better way. Odoo. One simple, connected platform that handles sales, inventory, accounting, and more. So you can focus on growing, not juggling. Make the switch today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hi, I'm Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. And this is our biggest sale ever. Buy a new air conditioner or furnace and get 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Plus, Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000, guaranteed. Call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
I think I do a lot of country on the bumper music, but today I did.
Yeah, I'm a turner.
I love Miranda Lambert.
I turn pages all the time. I
also love the Free Press. If you go to thefp.com, you're going to find content that I believe is very unique compared to some of the legacy outlets. And I've been a fan since Barry and the team started over there. I'm a fan of Franny Block, who's back with us this afternoon. She wrote a story about a guy who's a state rep in New Hampshire that I found fascinating, and she was nice enough to join us here again this afternoon. Hi, Franny. How are you? Welcome back to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis.
Doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
I thought this was really interesting, and I had not heard about this guy. His name is Jonah Wheeler. He's a young African-American Democrat, but he's taken some stands that have been counter to the Democrat Party, hasn't he?
Yes, he has, and he is a really interesting figure, I think, in kind of making us question what's the future of the Democratic Party going to look like? Is it going to be leaders like Jonah, or is it going to be somebody else? And to give you a little bit of background on why I think he's worth national news is that just a couple weeks ago, he stood up in the New Hampshire State House and he declared that he was going to join the state's Republicans in voting for a bill that would essentially ban transgender women from women's restrooms. And he gave a speech about why he wanted to do that. He talked about how many constituents in his district had come up to him and expressed concerns, and he was voting for them. And as he was speaking, over 100 Democrats in the state house, New Hampshire is one of the biggest state houses in the country, they walked out in protest. And since then, he's been called a series of names, a puppet of the right, a Nazi, a fascist. And I went and I profiled him. I thought, this is a really interesting character. And he told me, listen, as a party, we have to be able to disagree on issues of consequence. It's okay. It's okay for us to have different opinions. It doesn't mean we're bad people. It doesn't mean that we can call each other names. That's not how a successful party functions. And I thought, in the wake of an election where the Democrats, especially in New Hampshire, struggled so much, they lost the state house, they lost the state senate, and they lost the governor's race. I just thought he had a really interesting message for what he thinks the party needs to do to move forward.
I don't like some of this that happens on the other side. For example, I don't play the rhino game. I hate that because, you know, there's people, I'll use Paul Ryan, and Paul's a friend. He's like nom de plume amongst conservatives. He's a guy that fought for conservative principles. He was a student of Jack Kemp, and he's not a rhino. But, of course, he didn't do things, and the party's changed since then. But so I don't like playing that game. But with Democrats, what's even more interesting to me is, and you said 100 people, 100 of the 177 Democrats walked out in protest. This is not a close issue amongst Democrats if you poll them. Overwhelmingly, they are on the side of Jonah Wheeler.
Yeah, and that's, I think, what's really interesting about how this has become such a flashpoint in the culture war, particularly in our politics, when, as you said, when you look at polling overwhelmingly Americans, not just Democrats, not just Republicans, not just independents, but Americans overwhelmingly do support legislation like that. I think Donald Trump's executive order banning transgender women from women's sports is one of probably the most popular executive orders that's ever been signed. simply just if you look at polling. And so this is an issue where, as you said, people are not actually that far apart. But politically in state houses, this has become very controversial. And for him to do this, it really was a huge statement, as evidenced by the backlash that he's gotten.
Yeah, I love what he told you here. You know, he said the party has moved to this place where you have to agree with me or you're the devil. That's not a winning message. And he said, here they are attacking me as a puppet of the right because I disagree with them on one bill. And he said that, you know, of his colleagues, they know nothing about the reality of the people of the state of New Hampshire and what they're going through, what it means to not have heat in your house, what it means to lose your electricity on the flick of a dime, 11:30 in the middle of the week. There are very few people who are poor in this caucus and very few people who know what it's like to be poor. Here you have a young, you know, African-American, good-looking dude, you know, and he's out there trying to do things maybe that are more important than having biological men in female restrooms. I don't know. That's my guess.
Well, I think what's really interesting and important about Jonah's story is what you just mentioned about his background, that he grew up a single mother, at times homeless, at times, you know, needing to rely on people in the community to feed him and his family. And so he really knows what that experience is like. And he actually got his introduction to politics working for Bernie Sanders in Vermont, just next door.
Fascinating.
And he was really intrigued, he told me, by this kind of economic populist message, this economic revolution that Bernie was promising. And that's really what inspired him to be a part of politics as well. And now, you know, I ask him what he thinks of Bernie today. He says he can't stand Bernie Sanders right now because he thinks Bernie Sanders has become too establishment. So it's really, his story is so interesting because I asked him, for example, like, why do you label yourself as a Democrat? If you disagree on, you know, some of these social issues. And he said, because my economic message is the Democratic Party's economic message. He wants Medicaid for all. He wants, you know, Social Security. And so he really has kind of this kind of old style Democratic politics, but he is really trying to bring the party back to that today. And I think that's a really interesting message for somebody so young.
I thought it was interesting, too, because yesterday, I think it was yesterday, we talked about it was the 20th anniversary of YouTube. And he's a guy that tells you that he went on YouTube and just watched speeches of politicians. And that's how he kind of learned to do his thing.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, right? And I asked him, I joked with him, he sounds a lot like Barack Obama when he speaks. He really does. And his cadence, even kind of the depth of his voice. And I asked him, I said, did you watch Barack Obama videos? And he kind of chuckled and he said, well, maybe subconsciously some of that kind of came through to me. But I thought that was it's really kind of interesting. The modern day politician, that's how he learned.
Well, I love the fact, you know, he's going to certainly be on the other side of many issues from me. But I think that there's something that runs deep in politics on both sides. And that's a lack of intestinal fortitude. I'll keep it kind of clean for you here, Franny. Maybe say something different for a male that was my guest. But you don't have a lot of guts. And the Republicans show this all the time, sadly, as well. But in this case, what's interesting is you have a young guy like this in Jonah Wheeler. You have Gavin Newsom that's kind of had to admit this just because he's running for president. You have John Fetterman, who seems to have some courage and some guts on some of these issues, maybe not on that issue. I'm a little disappointed with him on that. But it will be interesting to see if he has a path forward in the Democratic Party.
Absolutely. And I have heard from other politicians that the state Democratic Party has tried to get somebody else to take his seat and encouraged other candidates to run in his district. So we'll see. It might be an uphill battle for him. But he seems rather undeterred. And I ended the story kind of with this, what I thought was a fun little interaction with him, where we were walking in the hallways of the New Hampshire State House and we're looking up at all these portraits of all of these past governors of the state. And I asked him, I said, do you want to be governor one day? Do you want to go to D.C.? What are your ambitions? You're only 22 years old. And he said, oh, I don't know. But I do think the state house needs a really good speaker. Should I run for that?
Yeah.
So I do think he has some ambitions going forward, and we'll see what he does.
What's the divide in the house? They have a Republican governor, Kelly Ayotte, right? But what are the numbers like for Republicans and Democrats in the house out there in the Senate? Do you know?
So they Republicans have a majority in the house. They have a supermajority in the state Senate. And they've won the governor's race. And this all happened in the last election, which is not what polling showed. Polling showed it was going to be much closer on all of these races. And it was, I mean, it was truly a blowout.
But didn't Trump lose New Hampshire in the end?
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You know what? That's a great question. I can't remember. Yeah, New Hampshire is a very close state. It's always very purple when it comes to the presidential election. It's always super, super close. But it normally, the past two decades has gone for the Democratic candidate.
Well, Franny, great work here again. I was really intrigued when I read the piece. And you guys, as I've always indicated, do great work at the Free Press. So thank you so much for jumping on here. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Check out thefp.com for unique content. What's a little different from the Free Press is, I go to the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the LA Times, all this other crap, and they have new content every day. The Free Press doesn't have as much new content because they don't have as big a staff, but it's always very unique and interesting, and they're approaching it from different angles. And then Barry Weiss has a podcast as well that's pretty darn good. I think I even have something from that. On the topic of Democrats, Sue, have you heard any of the controversy about David Hogg? Do you know who David Hogg is?
Mm-mm.
He was one of the kids that came out of the terrible Parkland shooting, but he became sort of a bit of a, you know, spokesman, if you will, for anti-gun situation. Obviously, he went through a traumatic situation. He's 25 years old now, and he's been kind of chirping out there on Twitter saying stupid things for a while. But he is now one of the 5 vice chairs in the Democratic National Committee, and he's trying to stir things up. And he's actively looking for people to primary other Democrats, which isn't typically something you do when you're part of the DNC. So the chair of the DNC, a guy named Ken Martin, is actually putting Hogg on notice.
Let me be unequivocal. No DNC officer should ever attempt to influence the outcome of a primary election, whether on behalf of an incumbent or a challenger. If you want to challenge incumbents, you're more than free to do that, but just not as an officer of the DNC, because our job is to be neutral arbiters. We can't be both the referee and also the player at the same time.
Yeah, neutral arbiters, when a guy who's in the White House, who's an incumbent, who is literally, you know, drooling on himself and can't remember what happened a few minutes ago, they had to be neutral arbiters. That's why they couldn't, you know, call for some sort of replacement outside of Kamala. But here's James Carville. James Carville, old guard Democrat, right? Not happy where the new guard Democrats are. David Hogg, you'll hear him in this as well. So here's Carville first.
The DNC, ideally, it should be an organization that's trying to beat Republicans, not other Democrats.
You have a fiduciary duty to your employer, which anybody can understand. He's being paid to run against other Democrats. I think it's an outrage. I don't know if I have standing, but I might give the DNC $10 and sue him. He's a contemptible little twerp.
What's his plan to deal with our 27% approval rating? That's my question to him. The fact of the matter is, right now, our party is in a crisis. We are seeing people lose faith in our party. They're losing faith in democracy across the country. And we need to make sure that we're getting people to vote for Democrats. Carville believes in a politics of being timid, of hiding. I believe in fighting. And that is what people want to see right now from the Democratic Party.
I don't think he's wrong about that. I think that there is a core that wants to see fighting, as a core of the Republicans want to as well. But I don't think it matches up with where the rest of the country is, because they want to fight for things that are 80-20 issues. David Hogg wants to fight for things that are 80-20 issues. It's not an illegitimate criticism of the party to say, look, we got 27% approval, but the path to more approval is what? To get more crazy and act like lunatics? That's apparently what he wants. And Carville and some of the old guard, they don't want that right now. We're coming back. Don't forget, we got Scott Jennings coming up after the top of the hour, plus an audio cut of the day in the next hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.